Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. In his message titled, A New Creation, Reverend David Williams tells us that our human ways include striving for power and hating others that are not like us. Society thrives on and seeks out conflict. God gives us a new path. Every moment there is the potential for us to break away from our normal human ways and follow God's path of reconciliation. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. We gather together as a people who struggle really to embrace the message of newness that comes in the gospel. We don't think we do. We think we've got it. We think we have that goodness down. Jesus tells us to love one another. Jesus tells us to love God. And sure, we get that concept. And so we're fine. But Jesus also declares that we have within ourselves the capacity to embrace an entirely new way of life. That those things that are broken in us, those things that are shattered in our relationships, in our sense of purpose, those things can change. And we get so mired in the patterns of our lives that we ignore that truth. Do we believe that we can be a new creation? And I think, honestly, much of the time we don't. Much of the time I don't. And so right now, I'm going to pray a prayer of confession that admits that I am comfortable with the way things have become, even where they're broken in my life. You are welcome to pray that prayer with me. I've printed it in the bulletin so we can do that together if you'd like. Let's pray it, and then once we're finished with that last word, take a moment to think on a place of brokenness in your life that you could change if you just let yourself believe that a new creation is possible. We will pray together, and then we will pray together in silence. Please join with me. Gracious and loving God, we expect this world to be straightforward. We understand things in a certain way, and we want everything we hear and see to mesh with our understanding. We want everything nice and neat, and we struggle to come to terms with realities that stand beyond our own. That means we struggle to respond to your Spirit's work in us as you reconcile us to you and to one another. Let's pray in silence as we reflect on those ways our hearts could be reconciled if we would let the Spirit work. We've offered our confession. Now hear the assurance of Christ's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. You can follow along on page 181 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's word. Paul writes, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been a funny week this last week, because at the behest of my agent in her sweet Texan accent, I have started writing a screenplay. And I have no idea how to write screenplays. I have no experience in screenplays. I have never attempted that before. And so it's funny because it's such a weird way to write and structure thought. And it's so hard writing one because you get like 5 or 6 pages into it and then you start daydreaming about, you know, Oscars and what you're going to say in that speech up in front of everybody. And then you totally forget about writing the screenplay in the first place. Getting past that is important if you're actually going to create anything. But it's also bizarre writing a screenplay now, or attempting it, because I am increasingly less and less interested in going to the movies. I just am, and it's weird because I've been a cinephile most of my life. I love film as a medium. I used to dutifully bop along to the theater most weekends to see whatever was being seen, whatever was the big cultural thing I felt like I had to go out and watch. And when I was at home, I would dive into the classics, from that moment where you could first slot the VHS into the little thing and then you're watching it, to DVDs, to whatever happens to be on Netflix or Amazon Prime. I used to be into it. And now I'm less so, if I'm honest with myself. Now everybody's still excited about it, but I'm not. It just feels like everything's the same. Everything's a reboot or a remake or a mashup. Everything feels industrial and processed, part of this big machine that blorts out an endless stream of prefabricated entertainment product. There doesn't seem to be any point. I mean, you go see Guardians of the Galaxy, which is felt to me the same as any of the new Star Trek films, or the same as Star Wars, just different faces and franchises layered over top of what's basically just the same movie over and over again. And it's over and over and over again, and you get tired of it. I feel going to the films lately like, anyone ever read Bread and Jam for Francis? I know that book. Yeah, little Francis, is she a badger? I guess, I don't know. It's like, what species is this? and she just gets bread. She wants bread and jam every day, bread and jam, bread and jam. And then the mom's like, all right, that's all we're going to serve you, period, all the time, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and she gets sick of it. Film feels like that to me a little bit now. It's just all the same. I mean, look at the superhero movie industrial complex now. I mean, it was sort of interesting at first, I guess, you know, sort of edgy, mature comic book films, but it's just endless, you know, to the point where the genre feels like it's starting to devour itself. You know, when you've run out of ideas, you start pitting people against each other. Like, we're supposed to be excited. There's a Superman versus Batman movie. What? Or let's make another Avengers movie, but now they'll fight each other. Yay! Which has all the sophistication of the kind of arguments I used to get into around the cafeteria table when I was in first grade, you know? Who could beat who in a fight? You know, it's got all the artistic integrity of old classics like Frankenstein meets the Wolfman or King Kong versus Godzilla. You know, it's like, what? Speaking of which, they're making another King Kong movie this next year, which apparently is an origin story, you know, getting into Kong's backstory. He was a little giant gorilla, and then he got to be a big giant. I mean, what's there to know? How are you getting into the psyche of this thing? I don't get it. And they're remaking Ghostbusters, you know, but now with women, which is, I'm sure, the entirety of some agent's elevator speech. It's Ghostbusters, but with girls, you know? I mean, because the sisters are doing it for themselves now, and by doing it, I mean piggybacking on an existing story. And it reminds me of, it's so original, you know, Hollywood's never done that before. Anyone ever see a Cinderfella? 1960 Jerry Lewis film. Oh, it's terrible. Terrible. It just all feels like it's been done. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's midlife. You know, it's like, you know, 47, and maybe that's how 47 feels. Like, But I used to like film, and now I just feel like the author of Ecclesiastes every time I go. You know, there's just nothing new under the marquee of the Cineplex. We have trouble coming to terms with new things and breaking out of old patterns. And that is something that the Corinthians in particular were terrible at. They were so bad at finding newness. I mean, they thought they were big into new and exciting stuff. But we hear from Paul today, from this strangely cluttered letter, that one of those early churches, the church at Corinth, really just had trouble doing anything other than repeating the same patterns over and over and over again. And this is a bizarre letter. It's not like 1 Corinthians, which is a single story, a single set of arguments. It develops carefully from one pastoral concern to another. It's a beautiful thing, but 2 Corinthians is just all over the place. It's the kind of letter where the tone changes suddenly, abruptly. It has these odd transitions and shifts of emphasis that make no sense at all. And given that we know, if you read Paul, that he was brilliant with the written word, most competent scholars believe that this text from which we get this passage is itself a mashup, a mix of different letters, cutting and pasting three or four freestanding units of tradition into one single text. Because we'll get Paul one moment waxing eloquent about love and how much he loves the community. And the next moment he's telling them, you're just absolutely terrible. And then, you know, everything's back and great again. Here in this morning's text, we're back in one of the positive sections. It's a section where Paul is stirring and cajoling the folks in Corinth to really try to embrace the reality of the way that Jesus taught. Because the Corinthians didn't. I mean, they just didn't do that. I mean, they'd gotten all excited when Paul had shown up with his message, and they were excited when Apollos continued it, and they were excited that this was a new thing because Corinth was a place where newness mattered. Everyone was new there. This was a young city, a city that was a port town where every last thing that might be new and exciting would show up. And Christianity must have felt exciting on the front end. Here, you know, it's like yet another cult has come off from far off lands, and there's this strange guy named Yeshua, and he's part of the, you know, the Jews, they're so strange, and he gives us this new thing. And people got excited about it, but in their excitement, they kind of forgot to listen to what it was all about, and they forgot to pay attention to change. They just kept doing the same old things in their old way of life, only they called it being part of the church. They fought and they gossiped and they created pecking orders amongst themselves, and they couldn't move on. And that's why Paul challenges them by berating them sometimes, and challenges them by giving them a vision at other points, telling them, here in your community, you have created patterns of hatred and conflict. You don't show yourself to be changed. You have to stop blaming others. You have to stop finding reasons to attack one another and commit yourself to the core purpose of what Jesus taught, which is reconciliation. That's why that word surfaces again and again and again in this passage. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself. God, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself. Again and again, this is repeated. There is something different about what you are attempting here. It is a new story. That was the heart of the change that Paul saw continually unrealized in Corinth, which just told its old story again and again and again, repeating that pattern of conflict and adversarial relationship, and not seeing that there was something new that could be accomplished. We pray this prayer, or speak it out together, almost every other Sunday. That's where we get the language for the assurance of pardon that I like to use, because I like it, because I need to hear it every Sunday. The idea that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, that what has come before is undone, and that everything is new. We offer that up most Sundays here. But it is a hard thing for us to embrace, especially if we're caught in a pattern of telling some variant of the same story of our life over and over and over again, and not capturing the really profound opportunity we have to change that is given to us in every moment. And it is so easy to fall into those patterns. Easy to fall into them in places where we are related to one another, not through the hope of reconciliation, but in conflict. That plays itself out in our broader life politic, but I think we feel it most intensely in those relations that are closer to us. When years ago, 6 or 7 years ago now, when I think the most intently I have felt this teaching convict me was when things were really ugly between my wife and myself. When, you know, we'd had a kid and we'd had another kid, and we were both working and both of our works were stressful. and we had drifted apart into a place of conflict that descended into a place of deeper conflict that descended into what became a pattern of resentment and negativity that worked its way out in almost every exchange we had. She became angrier, and I did what most introverts do and just sort of dropped into a fetal ball and sat there and stewed to myself. And that became our story that repeated day after day, week after week, until we reached a point where we were forced to make a choice. Were we going to continue together or not? Which was the first point that had surfaced in our relation. Things had broken as badly as they could break. And in that place, we had a choice. And people choose when they're at that crisis point in many different ways. But for me, there came a moment where I realized, unless something transitions, it was in the midst of a great big weepy yelling blowout, that unless something shifts in me, unless I am willing to embrace that, this thing that has been part of a life-giving story is just gonna, it's just gonna go away. It's gonna become something different. And it's going to be part of a negative cycle that will be just there. And I was forced to choose. Do I recognize that I can change the pattern of my life, change the way I think of this person, and change my orientation, or not? Just keep telling that story to its conclusion. That was the point in my life where I said, you know, this instant, I can either choose to make things right or not. And in that moment, I committed myself, you know, with she's crying, I'm angry. And there came a point of grace where I said, I can punch past this. And instead of offering the words of anger that were on my heart then, I let myself realize that we could do something new together. We could embrace that hard work of reconciliation and restoration. Each of us have relationships like that in our lives, and we make choices. The challenge that is before us, no matter where we are in that, is to allow ourselves to let go of the adversarial relation that seems to define so much of the way we're supposed to interact. It doesn't have to be in our relationships, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, or King Kong against Godzilla, or Superman pounding the bejabbers out of Batman. That is what our culture wants for us. Conflict and tension and a descent into darker and darker ways of being. What we're presented instead in this gospel, in this message from Paul, is that this next moment, the moment after that, the moment after that, every moment of life we've been blessed with is a moment of possible reconciliation. The other does not have to receive it, but our hearts need to be turned towards reconciliation and healing and the love of Christ if we are to be walking this journey authentically. Here in this season, in this season of Lent, when we are meant to be refining ourselves and directing ourselves towards resurrection promise, we are reminded, in every moment we are a new creation. Take that gift. Take the newness of that story and let it be your own. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
The stories of our lives can easily take turns that lead them into an endless, descending, broken sameness. Day after day, the same angers can work on us. Day after day, the same resentments can stick with us, and it is as drab as being forced to watch the same film over and over and over again. And it's not even a good movie. And you don't even enjoy it, but you're stuck. And the message from Paul and the heart of the gospel message as we receive it today is that every moment has within it the potential to break away from that broken story. We don't want to believe that that's true because we're used to that story. We are used to its anger, to its resentment, to its sorrow, to its sadness. No matter how much that tears at us. But in the message of the gospel, there is the truth that in every moment there is the chance for that to change, for your story to take a new direction. That is the hope of this Easter season, in which we walk, in which we focus our lives. So as you step out today, realize that you are a new creation, that in every moment that potential for newness resides. That is the hope of the gospel. That is the grace that amazes us. Step out and know that that is the way of your path, and let that hope guide your every step. Let it be the light before your eyes and the light that burns ever brighter within you. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.